Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guest. And our special guest this evening is Betty Martini, and we'll be with Betty in just a moment. But for those who are listening in the Monterey Bay area over KFER 89.9 FM, we've been off the air for about a week or more because we had to get a new translator, a new transmitter. The one we had had been going constantly for 17 years. It finally gave up, and so we were off the air for a week, and we did have to get a new translator. Any of you out there in the listening audience who listen to KFER would be interested in helping us pay for the new transmitter. Why, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, or our address is Post Office Box 13 in Santa Cruz, 95063. Now, that's Post Office Box 13 in Santa Cruz, 95063. KFER, the radio station, is a 501c3, and so it is tax exempt if you're interested in helping at all. And with that as the background, let's get to our special guest this evening, Betty Martini. Now, 15 years ago, when Betty's husband retired, he asked her if she wanted to travel and see the world, or if she wanted to save the world from aspartame poisoning, and she chose the latter. So for 15 long years, Betty has been on the front lines of a battle to educate the American people and help them to come to realize that they're poisoning our children and they're poisoning our people. And the NutraSweet that is being put in baby food and all sorts of food, and certainly it produces all sorts of problems, produces pathological obesity. You see this organized effort to say, oh, isn't it terrible? So many children are so fat. Oh, it's McDonald's fault. It's the Colonel's fault. We need more exercises. Knowing full well, at least in the FDA, that aspartame produces, NutraSweet produces pathological obesity. It produces brain tumors. It's carcinogenic. It attacks the endocrine system. It attacks just about every system in the body. It actually produces diabetes. And this is well known by the government for at least 10 years before the product was released to be put into our food back in 1981. Well, Betty's been trying to get this message out, and recently over in England, there have been some exciting new studies. You haven't heard a word about them here in the United States because of the total blackout, but Betty, tell us what happened over in Great Britain this last few weeks.
There was a study in Liverpool a few months ago that showed that there was an interaction between aspartame and MSG and color additives. And so the food standards, which is like our FDA here in the United States, did a study on additives and aspartame and MSG and the colors and behavioral problems, and found out that it caused things from like temper tantrums and mood swings and all sorts of behavioral problems. And like immediately when that was released, the large food chains eliminated aspartame and even some of them MSG and the color additives. And the thing about it is, it was always known all the way back when the FDA was about to approve it, because Dr. John Oney had written a 49-page article telling them how it would destroy the brains of our children.
All right, hold that thought, Betty. We'll be right back here in just a moment. At least they're trying to protect the children over in England. That's good. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Go right ahead, Betty. Pick up the story. You know, you mentioned that some of the large chains there chain stores are pulling the aspartame food coloring and MSG out of the foods that they are actually producing.
Yes, and that's incredible. And that shows you that if they would have done it a long time ago had they known, and they pay more attention. That's why when aspartame was approved in England, it was done through a business deal. The Searle knew they could never get aspartame in another country if they had known that the FDA wanted them indicted. So what they did was they made a business deal with this Paul Turner, who worked in food standards, and Parliament found out about it, and there was a big blowout. There was an article in The Guardian, and they didn't rescind the order, but they didn't like the fact that this man just went ahead and approved it. There were no studies done in the UK at all. So it was just really a business deal and then rubber stamped around the world. So this is the first time, a quarter of a century later, when they're actually doing studies there, and instantly, they get rid of aspartame, whereas in the United States, there has been one study after another, two showing cancer recently, the Ramazzini studies, you have the Liverpool, you have one in Greece showing Alzheimer's and memory loss, and there have been several studies, and the FDA here just completely ignores them.
Now, what was this study about Alzheimer's disease you just mentioned? Is there a relationship between a long-term aspartame and MSG use and Alzheimer's disease?
The study in Greece, I guess it's now been almost a year, and I gave that to Dr. Roberts. It's based on memory loss, and he said bottom line is Alzheimer's. And, of course, we've always known that. Today we have 30-year-old people getting Alzheimer's, and sometimes you wonder if it's actually Alzheimer's because they, you know, they leave their children at school and they have short-term memory loss, but if they continue to use it, it gets, you know, it becomes Alzheimer's. In fact, Dr. Roberts wrote a book on it called Defense Against Alzheimer's Disease, and says in that book that he believes that aspartame is accelerating the disease.
Well, is it? Are we seeing a lot more Alzheimer's disease today than we ever did before?
And young people.
Some of the doctors, a lot younger than I am, that I practice with are totally incapacitated and they have to be institutionalized. And what a terrible thing when it's all preventable. It's been known a long time why this happens and the terrible deleterious effects of MSG and aspartame. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Betty was just talking about how there were studies many, many years ago pointing out the relationship between aspartame and MSG and Alzheimer's disease. And, of course, this has been totally suppressed. They don't want the American people. Everybody knows that we're seeing Alzheimer's disease, so much more of it at much of a younger age. But people find it difficult to believe that there could be people working for our federal government, for the Federal Drug Agency and Administration, that would knowingly allow our people to be poisoned. And I always like to say, if you wanted to do harm to the American people, where would you work? Would you work in a little pharmacy, in South Chicago? Or would you get yourself a job in Washington, D.C., where your decisions could destroy the minds and the health of millions of Americans? And, of course, if you hated America, you'd go to work for government. Not that everybody there in government hates America. But if you are working for government and you dare to speak out and tell the truth about the harmful effects of the drugs and, in this instance, the food products, why, you're going to be in real trouble. Well, and you've actually been told this by some people who work for the FDA, haven't you, Betty?
Yes, and you know, the funny thing about Alzheimer's is that I have gotten informants to tell me for years that they know it. During the Olympics, someone who was a friend of Monsanto family said that they tell their friends not to use aspartame because it causes Alzheimer's. And then someone who was an informant with the National Soft Drink Association mentioned that they did a 10-year study that showed birth defects and blindness and Alzheimer's. And even they never published these studies, but I called it to the attention of somebody who work for the National Soft Drink Association, and she didn't say that they weren't done. She said she simply couldn't have a copy of those studies, and so she didn't know we didn't have them. But several times.
Did you actually have the studies, Betty, or not?
No, we don't have the studies. Actually, it came from a representative for Pepsi that had seen them being done, and so he told somebody, and they told me. But I've heard those stories for years and years, and when I was in St. Louis, my husband and I, we talked to somebody on the plane, and they said that they knew a lot of doctors in St. Louis, and that they ran into one that had told them that the doctors in that city, if they told that it caused Alzheimer's, they would be sued. Well, when you hear this over and over again, constantly, year after year after year, and you see that that's what aspartame does, memory loss is so common, it's number 9 of 92 symptoms. And then you get studies, we've had several on memory loss, and this last one from Greece just shows that's what it's going to cause. So obviously, it does cause these type of problems.
Well, of course, they put these, the aspartame, they put it into certainly our diet drinks. They put it into various products that they encourage pregnant women to drink, or eat. Certainly, should any pregnant woman be drinking Diet Coke that contains aspartame?
Well, of course not. And the thing of it is that when Dr. Oney gave them that report, the FDA said no child would ever use aspartame, but they didn't stop it from being put into things like Tempra. Tempra used to have it, those little drops you put in a baby's mouth, and all these over-the-counter chewable Augmentin, pediatric penicillin, and pediatric vitamins have them in it, and we have to tell people to get their children's vitamins from a health food store. And recently there has been in the news some pediatricians' remarks about that cough syrups and all these cold medicines shouldn't be given to small children because it makes them worse, and a couple of babies had died. And that's what it is they're simply going to a doctor and getting medication which may have aspartame in it because it's pediatric and it's either chewable or flavored. And then on top of that, they get these products over the counter that have aspartame in them. And they're just, young babies, and they can't take it. And aspartame damages the cardiac conduction system and causes sudden death anyway. And so in a baby, you could imagine the horrific effect of these toxins on the brains, of children.
And of course, basically what the aspartame does, it injures the nerves, and certainly in the heart. It can injure the conduction nerves in the heart, and of course, it has the same effect on the brain, peripheral nerves, and certainly the spinal column. In fact, certainly aren't there studies that suggest there's a very definite relationship between a large or long-term use of aspartame and degenerative changes in the central nervous system, certainly in animals?
Well, there's so many studies. I mean, you wouldn't think that this is something that's not known. We have on Doorway, we have Dr. Walton's research on scientific peer-reviewed studies and funding, and 92% of all independent studies have shown the problems. And anytime there's a study like in Norway on the brain, that one showed that it completely destroys the brain, especially in the areas of learning, and that was done about 4 years ago in Norway.
But now, how were they able to ascertain that? Were they using MRIs to take pictures?
They sent me the abstract, and because it was in a different language, they said it would have to be translated. So all we have is the abstract, which simply shows that it says it destroys the brain. But they were concerned about children because it also in the area of learning, which we know about, ADD, ADHD, and the effect on the brains of children, confusion, and like this really is considered a study, although it was done by accident, where Dr. Barrett Daniel in the Dominican Republic changed the menus of 360 children, and almost all of them, like 98%, began having behavioral problems, confusion, didn't know what they were doing, they were hyperactive. And since that's the only thing he did was use aspartame juice instead of milk, he knew that had caused it. And then he took them off of it, and 4 days later, they all went back to normal. That's how easy it is to show that the problems that aspartame causes, especially on children.
Right. Well, now, what happens when, of course, this information is put out or presented to the Federal Drug Administration or to the CDC?
Well, they know about all this. And incidentally, that study is in Dr. Roberts' medical text, Dr. Barrett Daniel. And I wrote them today because I said, I told the FDA, you see study after study after study, and you just ignore them all. And they won't
answer. What sort of response do you get from them, or do they bother to reply to you at this stage?
No, in fact, I think my last line was that only the guilty take the fifth, because they will not answer any of the letters, just like they will not answer the petition for ban that they're supposed to answer in 180 days, which I gave them 5 years ago.
No. What about, we know that there was an effort, I think it was New Mexico, to ban aspartame, NutraSweet, for food products in New Mexico. What happened when they tried to get that through the state legislature?
Okay, let me distinguish the difference, though. What I filed with the FDA was a citizen's petition for ban. And there have been several, and the FDA has turned them down. Like in 1986, the Community Nutrition Institute filed to ban aspartame because of the seizures and the blindness, and they just refused. They took it all the way to the Supreme Court. And then in New Mexico, they wrote, the Attorney General, I think, wrote the bill to ban aspartame from New Mexico, and they asked me to be an expert witness for the Senate and for the House. And the problem was that you were addressing the Senate, and half of them were sitting there drinking a Diet Coke, completely addicted to it. So they could not even vote for the people. They were voting for their addiction. And then you had all the lobbyists come in, Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, the American beverage, and they came in with all this kind of propaganda, which was absolutely just pure, outright lying. And, in fact, I took Dr. Roberts' medical text to show people in the Capitol. So the calorie control people came in there to the hearing and tried to attack the book because they knew people were looking at it. So it did not make it, although there is going to be another effort this year. And if anything, at least put a warning on there for pregnant women.
I see. Well, basically, then they spent a great deal of money. They brought in professional lobbyists because the last thing they want is for this to even be considered in a state, because, of course, then the American people might actually learn that they and their children are being poisoned.
Well, what I have told a lot of the people that want it banned throughout the United States is they ought to take the bill from New Mexico and they ought to file it, get someone to sponsor it in every state in the United States. At least that would cost them enough money they couldn't be everywhere at once. And, we might be able to get it through. But that's the problem. They got front groups like Calorie Control Council and the professional organizations like the American Dietetics, and they come in there and defend the manufacturer.
And, of course, they're being paid off by the manufacturer.
Right,
we're talking
exactly.
About hundreds of millions of dollars a year of profits are being made, aren't they? Do we have any idea how much they make a year off of this?
Well, I know that Marisont, we checked on Marisont, and they owe more than they have in assets.
How do you mean they owe more than they
have? They owe more, yes.
Who do they owe it to?
Well, it's a debt that they owe.
I see.
And so we can get that from, the stock
record. All right, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with Betty Martini. And welcome your calls from across America. Well, Betty, why does this company owe so much money. This must be for other developments or research or something else that they don't owe money.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Well, that can lead to deformities, congenital deformities. And what do we know about, for instance, the congenital deformities in animals that are actually given the aspartame drinks and similar products during the pregnancy of the animals?
Well, you know, this new study, that's what they did. They fed pregnant rats aspartame. And what Dr. Siffredi said is it means that those that survive can grow up and have cancer. And So there's been, you know, studies done at Emory University, and Dr. Lewis Elsis testified before Congress that aspartame is an abortifacient. And well, what he said in his report was that it's a teratogen and a neurotoxin and causes birth defects and mental retardation. And they actually had done studies there. In the studies that Searle did, it was almost comical to read the records that the person that did the studies only had some time with cottontail rabbits or something. That's the only experience this man had in teratology. And so there was really nothing at the time. But as soon as aspartame got on the market and women started having children with birth defects, then Senator Howard Metzenbaum asked for studies to be done by the National Institute of Health on, you know, what it does to the fetus. They knew right off, and about the behavioral problems that they were seeing in children. So from the very beginning, they have known that.
Well, did they ever carry out the studies that Howard Metzenbaum wanted carried out?
Oh, no, because of Senator Orrin Hatch. Senator Hatch, we even have films of him on CNN where Senator Metzenbaum is saying, you know, you have to consider the children. We have to have congressional hearings. And then Orrin Hatch would say, well, maybe later. And Senator Metzenbaum said, we can't wait, you know. We're talking about small children. So one of his press releases says that Hatch says no to congressional hearings. So it got on the market in 1981, and it wasn't until 1985 that they had congressional hearings. And then they had them again the latter part in August of 1985, and then again in 1987. But Senator Hatch was paid off by Monsanto and some of the other senators, and they were in that position where they could prevent it from getting out of committee, and it never did. And that same bill would have put a moratorium on aspartame, so they couldn't make any more of it, you know, until this thing was settled. But they were so powerful, they stopped it.
All right. Well, of course, the question is, did they stop it because they wanted to make money, or because they really wanted to do harm to the children? Why would you, I mean, the liability on something like this is so phenomenal, you would never be motivated by money, so you must have another agenda. Now, certainly the animal studies showed it would actually create abortions. Has there been any studies done in women at all where one group took this and the other did not, and there was an increased rate of abortion, or would that be considered too immoral to do?
Well, Searle doesn't know anything about morality. What they did was they did studies in six countries, and they used people in poor villages that they wouldn't miss. And this lady by the name of Norma translated those studies. And in one of them, they did allow a pregnant woman to have aspartame, and she lost her baby and hemorrhaged and disappeared, according to the report.
Well, it was just one, or was it quite a few of them?
Well, the others were not named. I mean, it could have, but that one particularly was in the study, was named. And so nobody would give a pregnant woman aspartame that knew anything, but they were just trying to see how much aspartame it took to kill, because the studies were only 18 months long, and they, by the end of 18 months, they were already getting brain tumors, which means that they gave them an awful lot of aspartame.
Well, now, it was the brain tumors in the newborn children, or was the brain tumors in the adults?
That was in the adults. They were having seizures. The translator said it was like they turned the brain to mush. It damaged the central nervous system, and that they would take them out of the studies as they got seizures or brain tumors or any of the more serious problems.
Well, that maybe explains why Donald Rumsfeld is so unconcerned about all the men he sent over to Iraq and Afghanistan to die.
Tragic.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Betty Martini. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question for Betty, because certainly there's nobody who's more knowledgeable in this field than Betty Martini. And so even though she is not a scientist, although you do have a PhD, don't you, Betty?
No, that's a doctor in humanities, but I have...
It's a PhD, it's a doctor. Well, you have a doctor in humanities, but you do have a PhD after your name.
No, I don't.
All right.
But I've been in medicine all my life. I used to own 5 medical clinics and had 200 physicians working for me. And so medicine has been basically what I'm doing. I'm sort of the messenger. You know, whatever, I work with the world experts. They write the reports. And I get it to the public.
Well, I think you're doing a great job. And you could be out there just enjoying life. Instead of that, you're doing something that nobody else really wants to take on, a thankless job, and yet a very, very important job.
Well, my husband is a minister, as you know. And so we just couldn't let people go on using something that's definitely a poison when we have the knowledge, and otherwise they would not know. And like my husband always said, he said, well, you can't stop. We didn't know it'd be for 15 years. But he said, if we stop, then people go back to dying again. Somebody has to be out there alerting people not to use it.
Well, I think that at least we've certainly learned, and I know a lot of our listeners have learned about the terrible toxic effects. Now, basically, the breakdown products of aspartame, what are they? What is this actually made of?
Well, it's... two amino acids connected by a methyl ester, which becomes methanol. But these two amino acids are ones that you cannot isolate, aspartic acid and excitotoxin, and phenylalanine, which at 50% of the molecule and as an isolate literally floods the brain. And, of course, it lowers the seizure threshold and depletes serotonin. And then the whole molecule breaks down to diketokiperazine, a brain tumor agent. So there is every element, metabolite of aspartame is a poison. There is nothing in there that is safe at all. And we know what methyl alcohol did during Prohibition, and it's still doing it. You know, thousands died, and many of them went blind, and that's what's happening today. People are still going blind on it. They're getting macular degeneration, optic neuritis.
Well, you hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Betty is pointing out that one of the byproducts of the breakdown of aspartame is methyl alcohol. Methyl alcohol produces blindness, and there are a number of people who use this product, aspartame, who do develop progressive blindness. In fact, Betty was our guest this afternoon when a gentleman called from Florida to talk about, I believe it was his daughter who's going blind, because, and he feels it's definitely related, of course, to her excessive consumption of aspartame. But the only way we'd know, of course, would be to get her off of it and see if we could reverse the process. Well, before we go on, Betty, I would very much like you to get your telephone number out. I'd like you to get your websites out. You have two websites. And, of course, I'd like to invite our listeners, if you have a question or comment about this poison that has been cleared by the FDA, even though they knew it was a poison, they knew the terrible effect it was going to have on children and on their minds and on the bodies of the people, pathological obesity, the brain tumors, the convulsions, the attack on the kidneys, the endocrine system, and the fertility. But anyway, go ahead, and I want you to get your websites out, and then we'll go to Bruce calling from Spokane. Go ahead. Betty?
Yes.
I want you to get your website out.
Okay, that's www.wnho.net, and then www.dorway.com. And on WNHO, you can subscribe to the aspartame information list, where you will get all my emails and we will answer all of your questions. And then there is the Aspartame Toxicity Center 2, holisticmed.com/aspartame. It has a lot of the technical records on it. And anybody that has a problem can email me at BettyM19@Mindspring.com.
At Mindspring.com.
.com, right.
Give that one more time, the email address.
Betty, B-E-T-T-Y, M-1-9, like 19, at Mindspring.com.
All right. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. I think one of the hardest things for people to realize or accept is that there really are people who would intentionally poison our children and poison our populace. And there are a lot of people who work for government and just do what they're told to do. Keep your mouth shut. You can retire with all the benefits and perks, and there are always a few people who have the courage to speak out, but when push comes to shove, you're going to find out that most people would rather have their security of their job, the security of their pension, the security of their health benefits, than do what's right. Well, we've got Bruce calling from Spokane. Hi, Bruce. How are you doing?
Pretty good, Doctor.
Yep. Have a question or comment.
Is your guest name Betty?
Betty Martini, right.
Betty, I just received my copy of the Artificially Sweetened Times today.
Oh, well, good.
Yes, I got it from the Idaho Observer, and I suppose you are familiar with Don Harkin there?
Oh, yes.
All right. Well, that's very good.
He put that out for us so that people will have material to distribute.
Well, he's quite the activist, and I've known Don for some time. Probably one of the most grounded people I know as far as what's going on in America, too.
Absolutely. He's a very, very dear friend, and he does so much good. If you want facts, you'll get them from Don Harkin.
I know that, and he also, I don't know if he shirt-tails on the Vaccination Liberation Organization, too.
Yes, his wife does.
Oh, okay, yeah, sure. And, tremendous knowledge base there too. And we used to meet with them at least once a year as on a picnic that we had for the what they called it the Patriot Movement before it was infiltrated and crushed by our federal government. But I just received this, and I was thinking I was going to trump you with some more information, but apparently you know it all.
Well, actually, I helped him put it together.
Huh?
Actually, I helped him put it together.
Well, I know. It appears to be so. I think I see your information throughout it. But I was trying to bring some people to the realization of what they're doing is poisonous. And I have fought with people, and they just look at you because it has never been on TV, and so TV Box never told them it was bad. It is amazing, and I have children, and I some people close to me with children. I try to tell them about this, and it just does not get through.
Well, and let me help you a little bit. If you will go to WNHO.net.
Okay, I've got it right in front of me.
Okay, I had the doctors write all new reports on what aspartame does to the brains of our children, you know, to see if we could at least save the children. And it's in one document called Report for Schools, and it's about 42 pages long, and you can email that to pediatricians, Board of Education, or any parent that's, you know, letting their kids use it. And there's so many reports in there, including one from the ADD people, Feingold, that you cannot...
The ADD people?
Yes, the Feingold people. In fact, they banned aspartame, and in the new documentary, Sweet Remedy, they said that they didn't even use the terms ADD and ADHD until the early 1980s when aspartame was put on the market.
Well, it's funny how many maladies came about. It's called the Rumsfeld disease, of course, but it's
yes,
funny how many maladies...
Don named it that.
Pardon?
Don Harkin's name.
Well, very good. I think that's going to be a term that's going to stick forever.
Yes.
Well, that is, you know, it really is exciting that somebody is, at least is on it. Like I said, I've tried to tell people, I've tried to tell diabetics, and of course that's what they just pour into themselves.
And it gives them diabetes and interacts with insulin.
Well, not only that, they don't receive any benefit at all.
Well, no, it kills the diabetic. What it does is it stimulates and aggravates diabetic retinopathy and neuropathy. It keeps blood sugar out of control. It causes diabetics to go into convulsions, and it interacts with insulin. So, and all that methanol is causing diabetics to lose their limbs.
Well, and I have seen that. And, I, you know, you tell people this, and it doesn't seem to stick. You can't tell them.
Well, Bruce, they go
to their doctor. They believe, they take the little blue packets, and they believe what their doctor tells them, and they always, always, always get worse.
Well, Bruce, could I make a suggestion?
You bet.
What you want to do is try to get people to think. What you want to do is say, you know, gee, during the early years of the 19th century, but I should say the early years of the 20th century, during the early 1900s, why, the incidence of cancer was about 3 in 100. Now it's 50 in 100. Why do you think the incidence of cancer has gone up? Why do you think we're seeing, you know, certainly Alzheimer's disease at a much younger age? Why is 1 in every 6 children in America have some sort of a neurodevelopmental abnormality, and probably 1 in 8 to 10 children have asthma? Why is those things happening? Ask questions. If once you can get people to
question,
think,
okay.
Why you can really you can get through to them far better than giving them a lecture, because they're not going to believe you because their minds are controlled. But if once you can get them to think, why, of course, at that point, why they're going to begin to say, well, do you have any information for me, or get them to go to Betty's website, say, well, of course, you know, I'm not much of an expert on this, but this lady's done a lot of work on it. Why don't you go to her website and read some of her articles? That's all I can suggest.
Very good.
Okay.
Well, you know, the artificially sweetened thyme, if you bought them in quantity, you know, mm-hmm. they sell them by the hundreds.
Well, I just got my first one to read it to see if I wanted to dovetail with some other people to get a quantity order. And it appears that it's quite informative, and I'll get together with some people, and we'll get a 100 or so.
Okay, and there is an alternative. You can use stevia or just light sugar.
Well, I do that. I just use honey, and I buy some stevia, and I've told people the same thing.
Well, they've got just like sugar now in Whole Foods.
Oh, I've never heard of it. That's the name of it, just like sugar?
Yes, and it's got tea tree on it, which helps to improve the overall health of diabetics.
Well,
so that's perfect for the diabetic. You got two that diabetics can use.
Okay, well, thanks so much, Bruce.
You bet. That's all for tonight. Keep up the good work.
Oh, okay, we will. Thanks for calling in.
All right, you bet. Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Gloria, who's calling from Spokane. And, of course, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Gloria, how are you tonight?
Just fine. I just have a quick question for Betty. Betty, are there any alternatives to Augmentin for pediatric pneumonia? My granddaughter's currently on that, and my daughter had a fit when she read that aspartame, so she called the pharmacist and said, why didn't you inform me that aspartame was in it? And he said, well, there is no alternative. Even the chewable ones for pediatric doses have aspartame. And she was very appalled, and she saw a behavior problem immediately.
Yeah. Well, actually, they can give them the generic without the aspartame if you ask them, because I've had that question come up before.
Uh-huh.
And so they can do that, or they can give a completely different product. But, you know, that's penicillin with aspartame.
Mm-hmm.
So all you've got to do is tell them to give you the generic without it.
Oh, good.
And
okay.
So
I'm wondering if, is Augmentin, you mean it's just exactly the same as Augmentin?
Augmentin is pediatric penicillin. And
right.
You just tell them you want generic pediatric penicillin.
Okay.
Augmentin is the private name, and it includes aspartame.
Okay.
But
that's good to know. Okay, because
and it would be half the price anyway if they gave you generic.
Well, I think it was $120 for this little bottle.
Yeah. Little bottle of poison, $120.
Yes. And so they could put a behavior problem started with that aspartame.
Yeah, instantly. Oh. I mean, that's how easy it is to show what it does in children.
Well, at least your daughter was right on top of it, Gloria.
Well, that's because I'm always calling her. Are you listening? And she does listen. She did have a good pediatrician who said, make sure your kids only have organic fruits and vegetables, because he sees way too much pediatric cancer and all kinds of behavior problems and all kinds of other problems. And so she really is into all the natural things.
No, that's great. I'm so glad. Anyway,
okay.
Thanks so much.
Well, thank
Anything
you.
Else?
No, that's all I wanted to know. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Let's see. We're going right now to line three. And who do we have on line three here? We have Don. Okay.
Hey,
hi, Don. How
are
you doing? Hello, Don.
You know, I heard that you guys were talking about me behind my back.
Oh, you're
in
this is,
I figured that I'd
Don.
Talk to say howdy. Hello, Betty.
Hello, Don.
Yeah, I don't know what you guys are saying. We can't get you, actually, at our house. But a guy named Mike Oliver in Coeur d'Alene called up and said, Don, they're saying nice things about you on Dr. Sam's show, and it's 106.5. I tried to get it. It didn't work. And he then called back and said, Don, you should call in.
Well, Don, of course you can. If you have, access to your computer or you have your shortwave, you can get us in that area. But I'm afraid, you know, we're fortunate to be on that station in Spokane. I just wish we had 100 more stations in Idaho. We could take.
We were saying nice things about you, Don.
Well, thanks, Betty. I would expect almost nothing else from you.
Anyway, this is Don Hawk, who actually publishes the.
Yeah,
Idaho
we were talking
Observer.
About the artificially sweetened tabs.
Right. No, thank you very much. No, it's one of those things. We put that out because of Betty. I mean, there's no other reason why we did it. She alerted us to the aspartame issue. It's a global crisis, and nobody had really quite put into just a short 24-page lesson the essence of what aspartame is doing to us, and then also the political history as well. And so with Betty's help, we coordinated this thing, and I think that we've probably spared between us a lot of people the misery of aspartame addiction and people who were addicted and had no idea why they were feeling so badly, and their relationships are going badly because they're neurologically damaged and they're interacting with all these other drugs and stuff, were able to go, whoa, and they've been able to recover as a result of it. And it's an honor to have been able to do something like that.
Yes, that's why I tell people to please get them. You can get a stack of 100 and just give them out to all your friends and family and where you work and get people off of it and save lives right and left.
Well, before we let you go, Don, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and get either a sample copy or a considerable copy, a number of copies of your special on aspartame.
Okay, well, you can check us out at idaho-observer.com, so idaho-observer.com, or you can get a hold of us at area code 208. The entire state of Idaho is still area code 208. So 208-255-2307. So that's 208-255-2307. And now it's one of those things, too. We don't always know if people are going to receive the message, because this is a highly addictive drug. But if we know something, we're obligated to try to tell people, and then what they do with it is their business.
Exactly.
Thank you very much for calling, Don, and I really appreciate everything you do. I've seen copies of your newspaper on other issues. You always do a great job.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Stan. And Betty, sweet dreams to you, my love, and we'll talk to you again soon.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Mike here, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Mike, did you have a quick announcement?
Yeah, a question for Betty. we'll do the announcement some other time. So often we believe quickly that companies like this have only got their bottom line in mind for whatever they do, and this is their motive for, even in the case of aspartame. But I'd like to propose the thought that this is not the case, because what they're doing is poisoning the food supply, resulting in a less productive consumer, who will then, of course, have less money to spend, and that would eventually hurt the bottom line of whatever corporations are out there. So could it be possible that this is just pure evil?
All right. How would you respond to that? Betty,
you have to know that they knew aspartame was a poison before they ever put it on the market. My goodness, it was listed with the Pentagon in an inventory of prospective biochemical warfare weapons submitted to Congress. And if you want to read about that, in the Ecologist, which is one of the most prestigious ecology magazines in Europe, we have that on WNHO.net. And they could not take a poison and make it show safety. And that's why they fixed the studies, and that's why they got caught, and they tried to have them indicted for fraud. They knew it was poison.
And so how does this get past the FDA?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. But Donald Rumsfeld did that. The FDA revoked the petition for approval. It's on WNHO.net. And Rumsfeld said, I'll call in my markers and get it approved anyway. And he was on Reagan's transition team. And Reagan, the day after he took office, appointed an FDA commissioner that would overrule that board of inquiry.
Hold that thought. That would be right back here just a moment. Betty, go ahead and pick it up. You were saying
okay,
that... Okay,
and he was afraid it would take 30 days to get Hayes to the FDA to overrule it. There was a certain time limit, and so he wrote an executive order making the FDA powerless to do anything having to do with aspartame until Hayes got there, and then Hayes took it from there. And that, incidentally, is in the movie Sweet Misery, A Poison World. And James Turner, who is the attorney with Dr. John Oney, who tried to prevent its approval, is telling this whole story of how they managed to do it.
All right. Now, is that the Sweet Misery that goes with the Sweet Remedy, or is this another?
Yes, that's it, Sweet
right,
Misery.
Right.
And Dr. Stan has it. You can get a copy from him. And it tells the whole story.
And I think it's so important that people really understand that all the evidence is there. There's no question this what this is about. But they do not dare let the American people know, because if they realize we were poisoning them with aspartame, they might realize we're really poisoning them with water fluoridation. They might realize we're poisoning them with vaccinations. They might realize we're poisoning them with genetically modified food, and certainly with the mercury that we put in the shots, and the mercury that certainly are giving to our elderly citizens in the influenza shots, that is markedly increasing the incidence of Alzheimer's disease. And then maybe some of these people might begin to realize what Mike is talking about, and that is there really is organized evil in the world. Anything else you want to say,
well,
Mike?
Does Betty know the number of that executive order?
What was that?
The number of that.
No, I don't know the exact number of it, but I have asked James Turner for a copy of it. He has a copy of it.
And who wrote that?
President Reagan.
Yeah. Okay,
he got addicted to aspartame, too. You know, he had Alzheimer's.
Right. And it's what goes around comes around. Yeah. Thanks so very much,
okay,
Mike.
Okay, Stan, thanks.
All right. Okay, fine. And so, well, Betty, it's always a fascinating hour. This is the second hour that Betty spent with us today. But I asked her to come on because, of course, over in Great Britain, many of the major food chains have stopped putting aspartame in their products. Not a word of it in the American media. Why? Well, I think it reflects the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Betty Martini, thank you very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure to have you here at Radio Liberty.
And thank you, Dr. Stan. Thank you for getting the word to the people.
Well, we'll do the best we can as long as God gives us breath. Good night, God bless, and we'll talk to you real soon. And, of course, that was Betty Martini. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I need to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. If you're interested in helping us, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to know more about our ministry, 1-800-544-8927. Now, we do actually carry DVDs, Sweet Misery, and then the second one, Sweet Remedy. They're both excellent, very well done, and they tell you the story of how these products are being used to poison people all across America, And everything is being done to keep the doctors from realizing what's happening. The FDA and the CDC know what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. And you say, well, but they wouldn't do this on purpose. And I would simply point out that they knew how to stop the AIDS epidemic, you know, back in 1986, 1987. They refused to do it. They've killed a half a million Americans, over a half a million. Another million and a half are infected, and they were killing people throughout the world by refusing to do what is logical to stop the spread of this terrible plague. So then, of course, we carry two four-tape sets on aspartame. That's two four-tape sets on aspartame. And then, of course, we have the book, Excitotoxins, The Taste It Kills, by Dr. Blaylock. And that, of course, covers not only MSG, but aspartame. We have Dr. Blaylock's other book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, which we really think is a great book. And it has a section in there on aspartame and MSG. And then we have, of course, this phenomenal big book by Dr. Roberts. I believe it's called Aspartame, The Forgotten Disease. But here's a book that must be 700 or 800 pages in length. I mean, it is an encyclopedia written by a diabetic specialist, an endocrinologist, to try to let people understand that aspartame, this poison, affects every aspect of your life. And people go blind with this because of the wood alcohol content. Phenylalanine, of course, is a very, very toxic a type of amino acid. In fact, every child, you know, is here born in the state of California is tested for phenylketonuria, because phenylalanine, if you take that out of the diet, they can live. If you don't take it out of the diet, of course, they develop all sorts of abnormalities. Many of them die. And yet we're putting this medicine in, it is an active medicine, active poison, we're putting in children's disease, infants, baby food, and in many of the products that are given to our children across America. And it's phenylalanine, of course, it's aspartic acid, and of course it's a formaldehyde type of a product which breaks down into wood alcohol. They know exactly what they're doing. You know what wood alcohol does? Makes you go blind. And we wonder then why so many diabetics are going blind. And of course, this is actually promotes diabetes. It promotes pathological obesity, abnormal fat metabolism, which goes along with the pathological obesity. And the fact that most doctors don't know this is not reflected on them. There's been an organized effort to conceal the information, the truth from the doctors, so they cannot be there to defend you. So you need to go to Betty's website, doorway.com, D-O-R, only one O, doorway.com, and pull down Betty's material and read it and copy it. I get her material. There are 42-page analysis for schools and for school children and for pediatricians, and it's all carefully documented. The sources of reference are there, the scientific studies. This is one of the greatest crimes of all time. But what would you expect from Donald Rumsfeld, the man who sent our boys to Iraq to bleed and suffer and die, but never be allowed to win the war? Never sent enough men over there, didn't send them with the right equipment. And when asked why he did it, he said, well, when you go to war, why you go with the army you've got? Well, maybe we have just waited a little bit before we went to war in Iraq. But the decision had already been made, and made in large part by Donald Rumsfeld. Please pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. Tonight for the second hour, our guest is Jack McLam from the Aid and Abet newsletter. And Jack certainly was in the military, and then, of course, was a highly decorated police officer in the city of Phoenix until he began talking about the Constitution and the fact that police officers had to follow the Constitution and the laws just like everybody else. And that wasn't very popular with some people within the police establishment who really don't want the police officers to be limited by law. They want... Well, it's all sort of a power game. Now, there are a lot of police officers who are wonderful people who are learning about their responsibility. The purpose of the police is to serve the people. Yes, they have to keep law and order. Sometimes they have to do brutal things, but never just for the enjoyment of it. But sometimes you have to stop riots and killing. But the police officers are bound by the same laws that the rest of us are, and of course that's the message of the Aid and Abet newsletter and the aid of Jack McLam, who's been publishing that. How long have you been doing that, Jack?
27 years, brother.
27 years since you left the Phoenix Police Force?
Right, Phoenix Police Department.
Right, okay. Well, tell me what is going on, because of course you're hearing from military people all across the world, aren't you, military and police officers?
Yes, we sure are, brother. We have a lot of contacts out there around the nation and around the world in law enforcement and the military. And our job is to educate our brothers and sisters in uniform. And so we have a lot of contacts, and it's an interesting world we live in today. We had about 7 soldiers get a hold of us from over there in the Gulf, and you know, my wife's a Gulf War I veteran. She's a first sergeant from the Army, 22 years now, retired because she almost died with the anthrax shots they gave her in the first Gulf War. She has a Gulf War sickness, and just got over her cancer. About 70% of our soldiers the first Gulf War got cancer because of the experimental drugs the government gave them, and my wife just got over hers, praise the Lord, but it exacerbated her Gulf War sickness again. And so she has a lot of contacts too, and so we've found out from about 7 of the soldiers that have fought over in the Gulf War number 2 that they've been ordered to kill men, women, and children over there. We even had a SEAL team member tell us that he was quite surprised because he's been in other wars and in clearing buildings now in Iraq and other parts of the nation over there, and even in Afghanistan when they clear buildings now, brother, like it used to be. He said, just like in the police work, we would go in and clear each room, and if there's anybody in a room, we would have them taken outside, put them down on the ground, and have one of our team members watch them. But now over in Iraq, they go in to clear a building or a home, and they, as he said, put a double tap in the head of anybody they find and kill them right there on the spot, men, women, or children.
Hold that thought, Jack. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Jack McClam. He said that some of the soldiers are telling him that they've been ordered to. Now, this would be in a home where they thought that there was resistance, that there were terrorists, or what?
Well, just going in, clearing a home. Maybe, perhaps they would find insurgents in there, and maybe they wouldn't. But whenever they go from room to room, they were ordered to kill anybody in the room and then go to the next room. That's the way they clear them today. They don't take them out anymore. And he was quite surprised about that because, like I say, he's been around for probably 20 years, and they've never before been told they could kill men, women, and children, non-combatants, as they're being ordered to do to today. Now, the six of the seven soldiers that came back and told us that they were having horrible nightmares and having psychological problems because they'd killed so many non-combatants, and the American psyche is not built for that, brother. As you know, you might in Stalin's Russia or someplace, you might be killed millions and millions of people, it doesn't have an effect on you. But our brothers are coming back, and they're really messed up psychologically. They can't sleep at night. They're having terrible dreams. And so it's a terrible, terrible situation today. When I was in during the Vietnam War, we would bring people up on charges, soldiers up on charges that would kill men, women, and children, non-combatants.
Do you think this
is different about this war, brother?
Now, is this coming down from on high, or is this something? Is this a command decision?
Yeah, it's coming down on from up above, way up above. There is a belief among some of the highest level people in the government that Arabs are not human. You know, that they're not even human. And it's okay to kill men, women, and children. We've heard that from pretty high officials in the military. And so it doesn't matter if you kill them, and it's easier to clear a house or do anything. We had one soldier tell us that when he first got into Baghdad, they would patrol at night along the road, and he wondered why in the back of the truck he was riding in, the vehicle he was riding in, they had all these shovels in there. And he asked him, what's these shovels for? He says, and the guys said, well, what we're told to do is we go along the road and
Hold that thought for just a moment, Jack. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Jack has access to many of the people coming back from over there, and he says that he was telling us that a young man was out on a patrol one night. He noticed in the back of the vehicle they were driving in, there were a whole pile of shovels, and asked what the shovels were for, and I think you would go ahead and tell the rest of the story, Jack.
Yes, they told him that the other soldiers there said, well, when somebody's walking along the road here at night, we shoot them, and then back up, throw a shovel out. And so when they find them laying there dead, they assume that they were digging and planting IEDs, these explosive devices, improvised explosive devices. So that was their cover. He was one of them that was psychologically messed up, or is psychologically messed up, from not being used to killing men, women, and children. And so, brother, it's just a heartbreaker to see how many of our good brothers and sisters in the military are coming back all messed up. My wife, too, has Gulf War sickness, but also PTSD from seeing all the dead bodies in the first Gulf War. They napalmed the big highway from Kuwait into Iraq, and the highway that she was on was filled with civilians walking along carrying their goods on their head, and women and children and men, and vehicles too, horse-drawn vehicles and some motorized vehicles, and they were all just burned to death. They napalmed the whole highway.
Is that what they refer to as the Highway of Death?
That's the one. Yeah, she was on that highway. And she almost every single night she has a horrible nightmare, and I'm there in bed with her, you know, and it's just horrible to see through her what hundreds of thousands of our young people are coming home and have to live with now. So we have a war that's being run by some of the most evil people on the face of the earth, I've figured out over these years, and they're in the charge of our government, brother.
Certainly, do we have any idea how many people have died during the first Gulf War on the highway of death there?
She just said it was miles and miles of dead bodies just burned to a crisp. You know, men, women, and children along that highway, just miles and miles. She didn't know how far it went, but as far as the eye could see, anyway.
I think anybody who doubts this story, and I've heard this story from others, they can go up on the Internet. I just Google in Highway of Death, Iraq, 1991, and I've heard the stories of what was done. And of course, these people were not a danger to anyone.
No.
They were certainly, most of them were Iraqis trying to get home. They would have been pressed into service by Saddam Hussein, who had worked for many years for the Central Intelligence Agency. We have books written 20 years ago talking about how Saddam started working with the CIA back in the late 1950s. We know that he was financed by our government all during the 1980s as we financed him in his war with the Iranians. He killed about 1 million people. So, you know, Saddam Hussein was a wicked, cruel, heartless individual, no question. But why were we funding him? Why did we support him when he came to power in 1980? Nobody ever asked that question. And of course then, in the interim, in the 1990s, we continued bombed him. He was no danger to anyone in 2003. If you read General Zinni's remarks, anybody can go to my website, radioliberty.com, Google it, radioliberty.com, General Zinni's testimony. We covered it in a couple of our letters, but General Zinni said, he said, I was the senior officer. I was the senior diplomat in that part of the world at the time of the onset of the attack on Iraq. I saw all of the intelligence. There was no reason to go to war with Iraq. Saddam Hussein, after being bombed almost on a daily basis for 10 years, could not launch any sort of an attack on anyone. The economy was a basket case. He said we should, of course, pursue Osama bin Laden and gotten Osama bin Laden and the Al-Qaeda and finished the war. And instead of course, changing the objectives in midstream, and instead of pursuing Osama bin Laden, because that's why we went to war in Afghanistan, we suddenly turned and wanted to attack Iraq that was not in any way a threat to us. Certainly, now, of course, we can hear the terrible stories of what's coming out of there. Certainly, isn't this turning a lot of the Iraqi people against the United States?
Yes, it is, brother.
Now, what about the Iraqi military when they... they go into, they do the same thing. In other words, because we're training the Iraqi military to clear areas, and we're trying to, of course, turn over to them the responsibility for clearing buildings.
Well, they have a hesitancy for killing their own people, especially men, women, and children, non-combatants. So that's one reason that we can't leave them there alone, because they care about the Iraqi people, you know? And they're not going to be doing that. They're not going to kill just everybody in the home. We have one soldier that said he was told to mortar a house because his captain saw movement in the house. So they set up the mortar, and they started to mortar the house, but the mortar wouldn't fire. And a man and his little children, he was carrying a little child in his arms, and his wife with a couple more kids came out of the building. And they were just going to kill anybody in the building because there was movement in there. He could see from his FLIR binoculars, heat-seeking binoculars, that there was movement in there. And so that's the way it is over there. And so we killed almost 800,000 civilians now. And that is why the Arabs are so, we're having more and more Arabs join as freedom fighters against us over there as we kill their wives and their children, and the men and the boys join the insurgency.
Well, but aren't a lot of the officers objecting to this wanton, mistreatment of civilians?
Yeah.
I know, Jack. I mean, aren't some of the American soldiers objecting to this sort of thing?
Yes, they do, but they get in trouble if they won't do their job. They're told they're not patriots and so forth, and they are treated very poorly if they won't do what they're told. And if you disobey a direct order, then, of course, you're in deep trouble, you know. So we have the herd mentality over there, and it's like gang mentality. That I was the intelligence officer for the city of Phoenix and handled the gang squad's intelligence, and reminds me of the same thing, that when a gang is out to do something, they all participate, you know. If anybody objects, then they're really in trouble with the gang. And so it's the gang mentality. And also, I remember in the city of Phoenix schools, at the time I was a cop there, I started a program called the Officer Friendly Program that the Sears Roebuck Foundation made into a national program around the nation, where I would go into the elementary schools and teach the children about stranger danger and playing safe and so forth. Well, I was in the schools a lot, and I learned that the children were being taught to group think. Don't think individually. Always follow the group. Don't do anything on your own. Go along with the group. And after, from elementary school all the way up through high school, these kids are taught, don't think independently, don't act independently, just go along with the group. And then they go out and into the military and into law enforcement. And I've seen it, brother, what that causes. That one officer or one soldier that objects to something can't seem to get by, because, and it's very uncommon that with that kind of training from all those years that they would object to the group thought, you know, what the group's going to do and what the group's ordered to do. Very few of them stand up and object. So it's proper training when you want to have soldiers that will do anything they're told to do without thinking and without any individual thought. So they're training our kids in the government schools not to think independently at all.
Well, now, what are you hearing from the people that subscribe to your newsletter as far as the possibility of a war with Iran? Do they think that we are going to war with Iran? Do they think that we're going to be able to come up with an alternative and some sort of a peaceful solution?
Well, we don't see any peaceful solution. It's coming, the war with Iran, unless God stops it, brother. And I pray every night, and I've asked people on my 6 radio shows to pray every night that God stops them, Bush, from pulling off another false flag operation in America or in England or in Israel. Because if they do another false flag bombing in America, Israel, or Britain, the same psychological impact will hit the American people to allow Bush to go in and kill the Arabs in Iran and Syria. And that's what they want. And for months now, we know that Bush has been ready with the three, I think maybe now there's 4 carrier attack groups off the western coast of Iran now, waiting for the order to go in and bomb them. And we've heard as high from our officials in the military that they've been working on targets there, and one of them told us they had 10,000 targets in Iran. And we were figuring out if Iran is about one-third the size of the United States, and if you hit 10,000 targets in one-third of the United States, brother, you'd kill almost everybody. You'd kill just about everybody, men, women, and children, everybody. And because, and this is what we're being told now, that they have marked over 10,000 bombing targets that they're going to hit there. So what they want to do is get rid of all the Arabs.
Hold on, I'll be right back.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Jack McClam. Go ahead, Jack. You're saying that you've been told they have how many targets?
10,000 targets now that they've targeted. We've had special forces in there for over 3 years now, marking out the targets, and now they're up to 10,000 targets for bombing, the bombing raids, and showing the logistics of that here, using the United States for an example, one-third the size of the United States. Even if we had the whole United States hit with 10,000 bombings, brother, it would kill most of the people in the United States. And a country one-third the size of the United States, we've heard that their purpose is to kill all the Arabs so that the land will be for the international criminal elite that controls America and Britain and Israel. And they want to kill as many Arabs as they can so that they'll have total control of the land over there. You know, of course, we're building 21 skyscrapers in the green zone, calling it an embassy, 104 acres for one embassy there. And I've been in a lot of embassies around the world, and I can tell you, brother, I've never seen an embassy more than one or two buildings. But they're building 21 skyscrapers in the green zone now, and calling it an embassy, but we know, of course, from our intelligence, from our soldiers, that that is the headquarters for taking over the whole Middle East.
Well, I do know that, of course, that we have no intention, even if
we're never leaving. No.
They are saying, even I read an article today where one of the commanding generals over there very guardedly said that even if we were to decrease the number of troops, we were not planning on leaving, so we intend to keep a significant force there. That's always been the plan.
Yeah.
But, you know, Jack, they can't tell the American people that we have no intention of leaving over there. And yet, as long as we keep our occupying forces in Iraq and in Afghanistan, there's going to continue to be violence. We actually won the war in 1945, and yet we still have somewhere 40 to 60,000 troops stationed in Germany. We won the war with Japan in 1945. We still have 40 to 60,000 troops stationed in Japan. And nobody ever asked why. We won the war with, we came out to a draw with the war in South Korea there at about 1953-54.
Yeah.
But we still have 40,000 troops stationed in South Korea. What's wrong with this picture? Why do we have troops stationed in 130 nations throughout the world? And the average American has no idea that we're intending to keep our troops indefinitely in the Middle East. And of course, if you doubt that, all you have to do is go to your computer and go to the newamericancentury.org website, www.newamericancentury.org. And pull down the pamphlet written there. It's called Rebuilding America's Defenses. Read page 14. And you realize this is the master plan. Who is responsible for it? Why, men like Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, Gary Bauer, William Bennett, who's the darling of the Catholics, Frank Gaffney, who's the darling of the conservatives, Norman Podroots is the darling of the Jewish population, people like Paul Wolfowitz and John Bolton, and there were only 27 people in this group that was organized in 1997 that, of course, laid out this whole plan for the permanently stationing American troops in Iraq, but we cannot tell the American people. We thought we were over there to bring democracy. Little chance of that. Well, let's get back to Jack here in just a moment. Jack, as you see this thing unfolding, tell me what your impression is. Have you talked to the people? When do they think that this war with Iran may come? Do they have any idea?
Well, the latest we've heard, and it is funny because last year, they wanted to do it last year, the Bush crime family, which is the overlords that give him directions. You know, he doesn't make any decisions himself. But they were going to try to do it last year. But something happened to set them back. And I don't We don't quite know what it is, but now it's out as far as September. They want to go in there before September. And so for some reason, and I hope it's our Lord stopping them, confounding them, and stopping them from going forward with this plan, brother, I've been telling everybody to pray, because if it happens, if Bush pulls off another false flag bombing of America or in England or Israel, we're going to go immediately under martial law, as you know, and the Bill of Rights will be suspended, and you and I won't be on the radio anymore, and I won't be able to send out my Aid and Abet Police Military Newsletter, because we'll be domestic terrorists. And so under martial law, which will come right after they pull off another bombing here, or in Israel or America, the people, or Britain rather, the people will want to be made safe. And this time, they hope to kill a million, two million people wherever they carry off this next false flag bombing, to make it just absolute chaos in the minds of the American, British, and Israeli people.
Oh, yes,
they will have psychologically forced our people into saying, go kill all the Arabs, let's kill them all. What they want, because they want World War III. They're trying to push the Arabs all across the world, 1,300,000,000 of them, into World War III, but they haven't been able to get it started yet. But that's what they're working on. So if they bomb Iran and Syria, they believe they may just pull off World War III. And you know why they want World War III? You say, well, that's insane. Why would they want World War III? Well, because their paperwork shows that when they see the blood running thick in the streets across the world will cry out, the people will cry out for world peace, and they'll present us their totalitarian world peace system under the New World Order. And it'll be a totalitarian system, but the people will accept it because they'll be so tired of seeing the blood in the streets of their own towns and cities across the world. So their ultimate goal, of course, has always been this world government totalitarian system, and they hope that when they bomb and totally destroy everybody in Iran and Syria, that that the Muslims across the earth will rise up in every country and start war, and they'll get their world war, and hopefully then, in a short time, the people will cry, Uncle, we want world peace, and they can slip us into their world peace system, this utopian Marxist UN society, you know?
Well, of course, you know, it sounds a little absurd on one hand, and yet you have to get the people hating one another. During the First World War, we got everybody hating the Huns, the wicked Huns. They were the Germans,
yeah.
Nice people, but we called them Huns, and we called them names, and we all hated them. In the Second World War, it wasn't the Japanese, it was the Japs. We hated the Japs, and of course we hated the Nazis. And I mean, most Germans weren't Nazis. Most of them were pressed into service.
Right.
But now, you see what they've created, a new word. They call it the Islamofascists. Where did that word come from? Why is it used by so many people, you know, in America? Oh, the Islamofascists, the terrible Islamofascists. Well, it's a new word. You can't have a war unless you get people to hate the enemy.
Yeah.
You've got to get the American people to hate the Islamofascists. I mean, who would love an Islamofascist?
Yeah.
On the other hand, you got to get the Islamic people to hate the Americans and the people living in the West, the Christians. So, but that's really the plan. And if you doubt that, you need to read my newsletter. Isn't what Jack McClam says? Isn't what I say? It's what they say. Read what they say about how they're going to get the Muslims and the Jews and the Christians fighting one another to destroy one another.
Destroy one another,
and
yeah.
And, of course, that's February 2007. If you can't get a copy, we'll get one for you. RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Jack McClam from the Aid and Abet newsletter. And, well, Jack, as you talk to the military people from across the country, aren't a lot of the officers concerned about this, or any of the high-ranking officers concerned about where the current administration is leading our country?
Well, not nearly enough. Brother Stan, I wish I could say that there was a lot of them out there. We've got quite a number, but when we have literally, you know, 1.5 million police officers now, law enforcement people, we just don't hear enough. We've never had such an amount of police and soldiers contacting us by email and by phone and by a letter now. Never before in the 27 years we've been doing this, so there is a lot of concern, but it's too bad it's not more widespread. You know, we keep putting out our Aid and Abet Police Military Constitutional publication, and we keep hearing for more. And I think there's a great awakening right now, but and if we just could stop the international criminals that control the federal government in our country here from pulling off another false flag operation, Brother Stan, I think we can win it. I've never seen an awakening like we have today among law enforcement, military, and then also in the private sector, like we're seeing in this last 8 months around here. And of course, this is the same thing happening around the nation when we see people like Ron Paul winning these candidate forums. You know, we always thought he was kind of an unknown, but you know, he's just, things are turning to our side now, and that's good and bad, because it looks like we could win this thing if we had another year for people to listen to your show, Dr. Stan, and my program, and Genesis Communication Network, and Republic Broadcasting Network, and all the radio programs out there, all the publications out there, and the email and the net, the web out there. If we had another year, I think we would take this nation back. But the enemy knows that too, so they're speeding up their program to try to get us under martial law, make the people accept martial law here, which is going to take a horrific bombing in America. Or like I say, Britain or Israel.
Okay, hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest, Jack McClam. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Jack McClam. And before we go on, Jack, I want you to get out your email address. I want you to get out your website. And then, of course, people don't have the Internet. Why, of course, they can get in touch with you. How can they reach you and get information from your ministry?
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. Appreciate that. Yes, our police and military constitutional publication goes out now to as many private citizens as it does law enforcement and military today. And it's we just put out our last one here, and we have a tremendous letter in there, Dr. Stan, from a PSYOPs agent, an Army PSYOPs agent that spent 2 decades as a PSYOPs agent, and he's speaking out, and it's amazing what he talks about, them, the PSYOPs agents creating phony intelligence reports like Bush just read to us about Iran having 2.5 years now before they'll have their first nuclear bomb. He says there is no intelligence whatsoever, but they create these phony intelligence reports and give them to their higher-ups, and they pass them on to the president to fool the American people. And he talks about creating evidence, like he was talking about, if you, Dr. Stan, if they recorded your voice within 2 hours, they could have you, and if they recorded you speaking someplace, they could have you standing up, as he says in his letter to us, on a stack of dead nuns, saying that you were making nuclear devices, and it'd be coming right out of your mouth, and they phony all these things. They have people speaking like Osama bin Laden and saying things, and they do this all with computers today, and they can have anybody saying anything, you know. And they create phony evidence whenever they have a bomb going off, and they want to say it's from Iran. You know, Iran sent this bombing material over. He says in his letter to us that they can, in 15 minutes, they can take an explosive piece of metal from a bomb, and they can put Iranian letters on it, numbers on it, and say, look what we found. Iran is sending bombs into Iraq and blowing up our soldiers over there. And so it's a very interesting letter he put out.
Now, what I want you to tell our listeners how to get hold of you and get the information. Your website and your telephone number.
All right. The easiest way to go to Police and Military Against the New World Order, it's a long website name, but it's easier, Dr. Stan, just to go to www.jackmclamb.com, and that's MC capital LAMB, just like a lamb, jackmclamb.com, to our website. And then to get a copy of our Aiden Abet Police Military newsletter on constitutional issues, you can go to the website, jackmclamb.com, or you can write to us here at Aiden Abet Police Military Newsletter. And that's easy to do because you can just take out an envelope and just put a capital A, the and sign, and another capital A. So it just says on the envelope A and A, and send that out to HC, like Hotel Charlie, 11. That's HC 11, box 357, Kamiah, Kamiah, Idaho, 83536. That's HC11, like Hotel Charlie 11, box 357, Kamiah, Kamiah, Idaho, 83536. And if you would, we've, for 27 years, we've used all volunteer police and soldiers here, and I've been a volunteer for 27 years. But if you could put a couple bucks in the envelope, our postage just went up to $1.15 now for one newsletter when we send it out. It's 20 pages, each newsletter. And so if you could put $3 in the envelope, don't write checks if you would, just put $3 in there. We've certainly appreciated Dr. Stan because it'll help us pay the postage and pay for reprinting the publication. And then they can make copies of it, or they can order more copies. As you order more, the price comes way down for our newsletter. So, and if you would have people get that out into the hands of a police officer or soldier, we would sure appreciate it, because every family, every two families, one out of two families has a police officer or soldier in the family, we've found over these years. So if you just hand it out to private citizens, make copies of it and hand it out, ask them to put it in the hands of a soldier or police officer. We hear from them all the time that people have handed them one of our constitutional police and military publications.
All right, fine. Well, if you're out in the listening audience and you have a question or a comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Jack has been on the front lines of this battle for a long period of time now. Sydney, we were talking earlier about some of the police and I should say some of the soldiers coming and telling you that they'd been ordered under certain circumstances to kill men, women, and children. I suppose these are really in hostile areas where they're just cleaning out whole districts. Is that really is that the situation?
Yes, they've destroyed our brothers and sisters out there. Have destroyed many towns and cities along their course, according to our soldiers that have come back.
And all of the soldiers tell basically the same story, or is this just a few of them that come and talk to you?
Yeah, a lot of them don't want to talk because they've seen such horrific things and been so much a part of of doing such bad things that they don't want to talk about it. Many of their family members tell them they just don't want to talk, and they have psychological problems too. But we've had seven of them now come back in the last about a year and a half and admit to us the horrible things that are going on there that our troops are participating in. And they don't believe we should even be there because it was all built on lies, of course. Of course, we know that Saddam Hussein had switched to the euro, and the international bankers couldn't allow that. It switched off the dollar to the euro, and so has Iran now. And so we've got to go bomb them and take them over to get them back on the dollar and take over their oil, natural resources, and also clear the land so that the communist Zionists can further control those areas. You know, the neocons are pushing to clear those lands so that there won't be an Arab problem, a Muslim problem in those areas.
Well, let's go to Bart, who's calling us from Carmel, and get his thoughts on that. Hey, Bart, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I have a question, please. Good evening, gentlemen. Jack McClellan. It's an honor to speak to a great American like you. And here's my question, sir. We know that the large naval flotilla is present there,
yeah,
in the Persian Gulf, getting in preparation for the war with Iran. And one of the carriers is called the Boxer.
I think they're going to pull the Boxer out and put something else in its place. But go ahead.
Okay. And my question is this: I had heard at some point that the commander of the Boxer had resigned en route through the Persian Gulf, and I was wondering if you had anything on that, Jack.
Well, we keep hearing of commanders resigning because they don't believe that we should start a war with Iran. They do believe it'll start World War III, and we've had many commanders in the Army, in the Marines, and Air Force that have quit, just taken retirement, that we haven't even heard anything about. And so I don't quite know which one you're talking about, but it's not unusual, because I think they understand, because the intelligence for 4 years now has come back from the CIA and from the NSA and other intelligence agencies and said there is absolutely no preparation for making weapons of mass destruction in Iran. And now the phony reports are coming out. Just like our PSYOPs agent has said here, that they create those phony reports saying, oh, yes, they are. And then he also said in his report that we in Iraq, our government paid $1 million to any former leader in Saddam Hussein's army or government over there that would come up and say, yes, they saw those weapons of mass destruction there in Iraq, and they would pay $1 million for any former politician or military person that would come forward, and they had some of them come forward and say that, and they paid them $1 million to say it, and now they're going to be doing that with Iran. They're looking, the PSYOPs agent's job is to find these former government officials and military officials to come forward and lie so that the American people can say, aha, there's the evidence, you know, they are building these nuclear devices. But I can say from our intelligence sources at our two police and military associations up here for 3 years have all said there's been absolutely zero evidence to show that the Iranians are building anything other than nuclear energy plants. So that's where we're at on that.
Well, Bart, I think it's very interesting. What they've done is intensely confused the American people about the flotilla that we have, about the armada of ships we have in the Persian Gulf. And, you know, I don't know who they're really trying to keep the information from, because I'm sure the Persians, the Iranians, know what's going on over there.
Yeah.
But initially they had the Eisenhower. And they brought in this John Stennis, their flotilla. Now, nobody ever talks about the Boxer, but the Boxer is an older aircraft carrier with seven support ships that's loaded down with Marines waiting to land.
Yeah.
Then they pulled out the Eisenhower and they brought in the Nimitz. So the Eisenhower left, and now the Nimitz came in. So you've got the Nimitz, you've got the Stennis. The Boxer was there, but apparently they're pulling the Boxer out and bringing in another substitute for that. And then they have a French aircraft carrier. And if they have a French aircraft carrier, they would have a flotilla of ships for that.
Yeah.
So what they're in, it sounds like they're going to have four aircraft carriers over there. But all of this is intentionally confusing, so we can't figure out what's happening. And I'm sure they're really trying to confuse Osama bin Laden. That's why they're not being forthright with what's going on. Any other questions?
There can only be one possible purpose for that fleet being there. And God bless you, Jack McClam. This government is so evil, and I just, the military servicemen are so fortunate that you are out there doing what you do. God bless you both.
Thank you very much. Well, let's go to
you, Dr. Stan. Thank you so much for all you're doing.
Well, thank you. Let's go to Herman calling from Carmel. Hi, Herman. How are you doing?
Good evening. Very sobering but needed program. If the Iranians are not working on a bomb, why is their leader telling the world how he intends to destroy Israel?
Well, I mean, if you don't mind, if you had interpreters like we do, it'll come back with the actual words that he said. You will find that through our interpretations we've received, that he said he wanted to see the Zionist controllers destroyed, not Israel. He said repeatedly he doesn't want to see the Jewish people hurt because they have no idea what's going on, and they don't. They have evil leaders just like we do, but Ahmadinejad has said Zionist leadership, which is the very evil leadership there in Israel, these are the communist Zionists. They are the Ashkenazi Khazar Gentiles that call themselves Jews that actually started the Israel state in 1948. They weren't even Jews. And we have Jewish soldiers that tell us all of this and show us the documentation that these, the Jewish soldiers we have, hate Zionism, and they're a part of the movement across the world against Zionism because they say it's a communist system and it's not a democracy there at all in Israel. The communist Zionists have control. And they are actually pushing to get Israel bombed so that they can get World War III going. And they're actually trying to get the Arabs to bomb Israel. And a lot of our soldiers who are Jews, who love America and love freedom and are working on our side, are telling us these documents and things that they've read and intel from their fellow soldiers there in Israel, from the Israeli Defense Force. A lot of our Jewish brothers and sisters here have contact with them, and they say that the Zionists are trying to get Israel bombed so that World War III will start, and the American evangelicals are working to also get Israel bombed. We have top-level multi-millionaire glitterbugs on TV called pastors who talk all the time about going after Iran and bombing Iran and trying to get the president to go bomb Iran so that they hope the Muslims will bomb Israel because they've been lied to and told that Jesus Christ will be coming back very soon after Israel gets bombed and 2-3 million Jews die. And the Jewish people have no idea this is going on with their evil leadership in Israel, just like the American people have no idea what's going on with our evil leadership here.
Well, anything else, Herman? Does that
Who is funding the Hezbollah in Lebanon? Isn't that funding coming from Iran? Are they shipping arms?
This is what our government keeps telling us, but it is very interesting where the funding's coming from. The funding is coming from the same people that fund every war. Every war in that you and I know about, First World War, Second World War, Korea, Vietnam, the international criminal elite funded all sides of those wars. Always have, and they're funding the Hezbollah so that they can have this war going on there and try to get Muslim people to strike in the heart of Israel and start World War III.
In fact, who is it that provided the sophisticated missiles for Iran today? Do you know what it is, German? It's the Soviets. Who is funding the Soviets? Why, we are funding the Soviets.
That's right.
We've
the international criminals
the
control Russia, too.
And if you read my latest newsletter, it'll be coming out very soon. We point out how the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the Export-Import Bank, the Asian Development Bank, the U.S. taxpayers just under the general fund, American corporations, American banks, and simply American individuals are pouring billions of dollars into Russia. And it is for that reason that Russia is the largest exporter of oil and natural gas today. And nothing going on makes sense. There's lots of explanations for what's going on with Israel. We need to look into the Sabbateans. They're one group most people have never even heard of. But, of course, we're in real trouble today. Thanks so much for helping and for calling, Herman.
Thank you.
Yes, Herman, thank you.
All right, Jack, we've got about 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Okay, Brother Stan. Listen, brother, I just want to say that you're one of my heroes, and all of us cops and soldiers here just love what you're doing for our America. And we just pray that God protects you and keeps using you in such a great way for our nation. And I want to express to the people out there that this is the time like never before to help us reach our brothers and sisters in uniform and get the truth out to them so they'll know what's really going on. A lot of them are scratching their heads trying to figure all this out. But they, in the war zone, my son is a major in the Army, and he's been to Baghdad twice, and he's told me that they've cut off the web to them. They cut off everything to where they can learn what is really going on over there. But we can reach them because people, friends and relatives, send them our newsletters, and we need to reach our brothers and sisters in the military and in law enforcement, let them know the sham and the fraud that's being perpetrated in using them, and hope to use them against the American people in the near future. So please write to us. Go to our website, www.jackmclam.com. Get some copies of our Aid and Abet Police Military newsletter and hand it out to every cop and soldier you can find as fast as you can, because we have a tremendous, Dr. Stan, success rate when peers talk to peers. And we are their peers. I'm a Vietnam veteran. My wife is Gulf War I veteran. And I'm a retired police officer now, injured in the line of duty, arresting a drug smuggler out of Mexico, illegal alien, of course. And so we're their peers, and we can awaken them where it's very difficult sometimes for the private sector, who they've been told doesn't know anything, doesn't see the big picture. They don't listen to those in the private sector very well, but we're their peers, and we have a high success rate as educating them with our publication. So please, please, we work for free. We're all volunteers here, always have been. And so we're not asking for your money for us, because every penny goes to educate more of our brothers and sisters in uniform and to keep the lights on here at our two police and military associations. So, Dr. Stan, thanks for having us on. And we're in an exciting time now, and we're praising the Lord for all the people waking up, Dr. Stan. And you're a big part of that, brother, and we love you for it, and thank you so much.
Well, God bless you. Thanks for everything you do, Jack, because you're reaching people I can't reach, and you keep up the great work. Bye-bye. Good night. God bless.
God bless you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and how do you understand what's going on over there? I mean, what's the difference between the Zionists and the labor Zionists and the Sabbateans? And what you must understand is that there are many names we can give to people, but there is a satanic movement in the world. It infiltrates every major religion and the branches, as it infiltrates both the Catholic and the Protestant and the Greek Orthodox part of Christendom. It infiltrates the Jewish religion. It infiltrates the Muslim religion. And the ultimate hope is to get them all fighting one another and killing one another off. If you would like to see not what I say about it, but what they say, Let me suggest my February 2007 newsletter, available at RadioLiberty.com. Go there and get it and read it and check the facts. If you want the original documentation, we have it. That's the February 2007 newsletter. If you don't have access to the web, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Understand, we're fighting a spiritual battle on a political and ideological and cultural and economic battlefield. And they intend to destroy this country. They intend to destroy the economy and the currency of this country and of the rest of the world, and of course to leave the Middle East in rubble, just like Germany was after the Second World War. And I saw it, and it wasn't a pretty sight, but I fear for my country. I tremble for my country. When I reflect that if God is just, his justice of bringing his judgment on America will not rest much longer. And we need to be out there educating people, telling them about it. Certainly we need to be praying. We need to be making preparations. But we need to understand what this is all about. Let me suggest my talk on The Forbidden Secret. Let me suggest our new 4-tape or CD set on The Secret Behind the Secret. My talk on Brotherhood of Darkness. The DVDs, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. That's The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. Or Riddles in Stone, the second in this series of productions put out by Chris Pinto. And then we have Chris Pinto, actually, in a DVD or video that we produced, where he talks about the Atlantis connection. Atlantis? What's Atlantis have to do with anything? Why? Because it has been the belief of the occultists, the people who are working on the other side, that America one day would be the new Atlantis and would bring the whole world into the New World Order, the New World Religion, with a new world leader. That's what it's all about. And so they're using America's military and financial power to accomplish this. This is why we will not pull our troops out of the Middle East, no matter what happens. This is why we have troops stationed in 130 nations, over 700 military bases throughout the world. As we close our military bases down here in the United States, and we open them throughout the rest of the world, this is why the United States spends more money for its military than all the rest of the nations in the world put together. Do you honestly believe that Russia and China are a threat? We're building up their military capacity. We're lending them money. We're putting in the oil and natural gas wells for the Soviet Union. You'll certainly want to read my March newsletter. You'll certainly want to read our April newsletter. You want to get the information from Radio Liberty on a regular basis so that you can begin to understand what has taken me almost 45 years to understand. And until you can put the things into a spiritual perspective, unless you understand that we create the best enemies money can buy. In fact, you really want to see our new DVD or video with Professor Anthony Sutton entitled The Best Enemies Money Can Buy. We've been doing it for a long time. We're out of time. Our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty. For our provision and protection until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.